can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And despite the fact that the two films we're talking about today have puppets in them, this is most definitely not for kids. So if you're like, oh, what shall we take the family to see this weekend? Not this episode. Listen to a previous episode, because this episode is not going to help you in that search at all.
Stop making movies that look like children's movies, but that so aren't.
I think they're supposed to be, you know, subverting something, but it's mostly just, wow.
It's like that animated one, Sausage Party?
Yeah.
Not for children.
Yeah. And see, and this has something to do, I think, with the Henson Company. I think Henson came up, it's Henson, I want to say Anthem, and that's now not what it's called. It's My Wonderful Thing, where things that start with the same letters, it starts with an A, and I completely forgot what it is. But it's like, you know, the more raunchy, not for children side of Henson or something.
Okay, like the adult version or the right. Adult entertainment section.
Or I don't something. Know. Like, this clearly, there's Henson people involved, and the company is one of the company sub companies or whatever is involved in
and
this.
And the puppets definitely look like, you know, Henson.
Muppets, yeah. Yeah, yeah, but most definitely not the kid version of anything.
This is not Sesame Street.
No. So this is. As I was sort of going about halfway through, I started having this idea. And then at the end, you actually get like both behind the scenes things showing the puppeteers, you know, doing the puppets and how sometimes they have to be in like green bodysuits.
Right.
So they can later be visually taken out. But then you also get like bloopers, if you can call them bloopers.
Right.
Of the puppet scenes. About halfway through, I started feeling, oh, so this is like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but with puppets and not for kids.
Right.
It definitely feels like that. It feels like if there was, you know, a group of puppeteer majors at a small liberal arts college, and I have no idea if puppeteering is even a major, but let's just go with that. A group of puppeteer majors, some Friday or Saturday night, you know, drank a few beers and watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit and decided we should do that. But with puppets and for college students and not for kids.
Right.
Because
we can do that.
Well, because this is the main character is Phil Phillips, who is a puppet, but he feels a lot like the Eddie Valiant character from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He's a detective. He used to be a cop. There's definitely a noir feeling going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got a secretary named Bubbles, who definitely dresses very 1940s, played by Maya Rudolph. She's actually fantastic.
Love Maya Rudolph.
It just feels so like that old detective noir feeling. But then you've got this world where there are humans. And there are puppets in the same way there were humans in cartoons and Roger Rabbit. And we just accepted that because, of course, there
is. Right, because that's how it is.
That's reality.
Yes.
So in this world, there are humans and there are puppets. But there's like this major puppet discrimination going on.
Sure.
To where the noir guy starts his sort of narration, as you have in noirs, with the one thing that ties all the humans of L.A. together is their like thankfulness that they're not puppets, because puppets are treated so terribly. And you get him arriving to his detective office, and outside is a puppet that is offering to sing and dance for you, and these kids come up and tear the puppet's eye out because you can. And Phil Phillips tells
so
the puppet,
wrong.
Well, we all hate puppets evidently in this world,
apparently. Yes.
And so Phil Phillips tells the puppet, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. Like, puppets don't have to do that. He's like, I'm a puppet, I sing and dance. And I just kept thinking of Roger Rabbit, where he's like, I'm a tune, I make people laugh.
Right, exactly.
Like, Wow, yeah, this is the drunken version of that. Like, if you watched that movie and then had a dream or something about puppets, it would kind of be this. So there is actually, Phil was a cop. He was the first puppet cop.
Of course he was.
And then he made a mistake. And so now there's actually a law, the Phillips Code, that says puppets can't be cops because there's a belief that puppets won't shoot other puppets.
Because one puppet made a mistake one time.
One puppet. And I always do wonder that, like, a few episodes ago, we talked about Black Klansman, wherein that he was the first black police officer. And I'm just like, what happens if the first one messes up? Like, you never will open this up again.
Right.
You blame it on one person. You judge the whole. Okay, whatever.
Yep.
But so anyways, in this, Phil's brother, Larry, is a sort of washed up actor who was once part of this show called The Happy Time Gang, which was a groundbreaking show because it was the first show where puppets something something.
Okay, can I just jump in here? Because this sounds like A, Roger, Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
yep.
but B, like a very silly episode of Angel, where there was a puppet show, but there was some kind of, you know, as in Angel, there's always like some demonic force or something happening, and the David Boreanaz's character of Angel got turned into a puppet, so he was like... It was actually kind of hilarious because he was like beating up another vampire, but it was his puppet that like flew through the air. So, but yeah, there was this show of puppets and they went to investigate something. And then, so yeah, I feel like there's a lot of influences on this movie.
Right, most definitely.
Good Lord.
Nobody becomes a puppet who's not already a puppet in this.
Right.
But you do have
magic.
Right. So, but you do have humans and puppets interacting. So Melissa McCarthy is the other main character in this. And she plays Phillips's ex-cop partner, and they have a clearly bad history because when they meet for the first time, they immediately start being like, oh, God, he's here, she's here, and then they start insulting each other.
Right.
Because she was part of the whole puppets don't shoot other puppets movement, and she testified against him. So now they kind of hate each other.
Come on, Melissa, be nice to your puppet partner.
But so he's a private detective, and he's hired, and this is... There's a character named Sandra White, who is also a puppet, who hires him to find out who's blackmailing her because she, as she says this herself, she's a sexual Ima, which is a sexual Ima near anything Ima F it. She's a sexual deviant and like sexual whatevers.
I just like that her last name is White and she's being blackmailed.
Just okay.
I don't know if that was...
I mean, there are definitely some puppet puns
going on in there.
There are definitely some puns in the film. But so he takes her case, which leads him to a puppet porn shop because there is such a thing as puppet porn,
I'm sure there are humans who are into puppet porn, even though they don't like puppets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, humans, weird.
Well, when he goes to the puppet porn shop, he asks to look at the records of people who bought a certain porn magazine, because porn shops, I guess, keep those sort of things. And he asks to go to the back behind the theater to see these records. And while he's doing that...
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
On the theater, there is a video of a puppet Dalmatian dog, BDSM with a human firefighter. Yeah, just the whole...
You can't see my face, people, but it's not pretty.
The whole porn shop scene. And that's just the beginning. This is like the first 10 minutes. We get to all the craziness of puppet porn and the various... things that will come out of puppet porn.
Well, I guess in the first 10 minutes, if you've brought children, you know, maybe you should take them out of the theater.
Well, I would hope you were immediately with the I'm a sexual Ima thing, like, wait, what did I bring my child into?
Yeah, hopefully you did a little research before you just headed to the theater.
But when he's in there, he runs into an old friend who was on the Happy Time show. And while he's in the back looking at records, someone comes in and kills all the people in the porn shop, including this old Happy Time actor. And this leads to other Happy Time people being killed. And we start to see, someone is taking out all the cast members of the Happy Time gang. We're not sure why exactly, but we have to figure this out.
Right.
And because his brother is a cast member and Melissa McCarthy is still a cop in the homicide department, they have to team up to figure this out because they both sort of have a something.
Oh, wait, what?
I don't know.
Okay.
They both have a reason to want to figure out what's going on here.
But okay.
Yeah. So this is, wow. I mean, clearly, you know, there was an idea of, okay, we have puppets, but how does that translate like to regular things? Because they're human, but they're puppets, but they're still human. So like there's a thing called Sugar Smack. which is puppets, evidently, amongst other things, like pea glitter, and are addicted to sugar. Because,
isn't
of course,
sugar they smack are. A cereal with a frog on it?
It might be. But in this film, a sugar smack is a person who's addicted to sugar. So, like, their version of alcohol is, like, maple syrup. And
oh,
it's just, like,
right, of course.
There's a lot of things going on here because...
But again, they're puppets. They have no digestive system.
They evidently do. There is a mention later about puppet livers, and that allows you to process, like, what looks to be, like, glitter... sugar powder or something, which is essentially their version of cocaine, would kill a regular human, but a person with a puppet liver, they're fine. So as they're going along, they're trying to figure out who's killing these Happy Time gang members as they keep getting killed. There is so much not for children mm-hmm. in this thing. Like, beyond the language, and there are a number of F-bombs, beyond the puppet porn, there is an actual puppet sex scene. Like, not even the puppet porn. There is an actual outside that sex scene that is clearly just the makers were like, how long can we push this? How long can we make this sex scene before it is way too much? Because it just goes on and it's extensive.
I feel like it's way too much and I haven't even seen it.
I felt it was way too much while watching it. And I also kind of wonder, like, how many times they had to shoot that sex scene, because there are people, it's not really like... private. It's in an office, but the office has like frosted glass windows and a speaker system that you can hear things through.
Oh, sure.
And then people come right as that scene is happening, and so they can hear everything. And it's just like, how many times did you have to shoot this with people like breaking into laughter when they're not supposed to? Because, well, I kind of imagine you would just like, you know, laugh unintentionally at the scene. It's so ridiculous. I can't. I'm just like, wow. Continuing and still going and wow. Okay, wow.
And oh, look, still going.
Really, though. But yeah, so a number of things, definitely not for kids, language and situations. It's very interesting the way the puppets get killed, because you do see some of them. And again, like, you can tear out a puppet's eye and he's fine. But then if you like tear off his limbs, he's not. They can get shot and killed that way, even though it's like, but you just have fluffing in you, so
right.
I don't understand.
I'm so confused.
The anatomy of puppets here. What? It's a little unclear at times. We do get sort of a rundown of who everybody in the gang is, but then we don't see a lot of them for very long, so I get sort of confused of like, who are you in the gang? Because we don't really see too much about what the Happy Time gang show was. It looks like a strange, like, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood meets, I don't even know what
exactly. Meets something else.
Meets something else. There is one human character on it played by Elizabeth Banks. Her name's Jenny. And she and Phil evidently had like a relationship at one point, as you must have in a noir. Of course, you've
of course,
got
right? Yeah.
Some back history with some. Of course you do. But it's not clear what her, you know, what she did on the show of puppets. But that's not really the point. The point clearly is we want to just make, you know, adult jokes with puppets.
Can I just say how disturbing I find this? Because I have, I actually am a person who owns puppets. I've used them with children in various settings to teach and do, and I'm so disturbed by this right now because.
I mean, to
I
be
realize
fair.
I realize that the. They've done other things that should also disturb me equally as much, but because I actually have right. puppets, I'm just sitting over here going, eh.
I mean, and I didn't really watch too much of the Muppets. I've seen the first Muppet movie where they want to go, is it to Hollywood? They want to stop something about Kermit and Frog Legs. That's literally all I remember. Mm. I don't think I've ever seen any of the other Muppet
films.
Oh,
I grew up with the Muppet Show. I grew up with Sesame Street. I grew
up with...
But
they were somewhat subversive, yeah. right? They, like, there was some sort of... references that kids wouldn't get that adults would.
Right.
They
like,
were definitely
like pretty
saying
much,
some
like,
things.
Like your typical like Disney movie in that way, there were some things that...
You mean
you know,
Pixar.
I mean,
Disney didn't do that as much.
They still did some, but yeah. So. I mean, think about Aladdin and Robin Hood, Robin Williams. But I'm considering that there's frog... and pig interspecies romance going on. Yeah, they definitely...
And in this, there's human puppet interspecies romance. And considering that we do get a puppet porn scene and a puppet sex scene, I do, at one point, you know, while watching it, I was like, okay, but how does that work? Like, just physically. And then thankfully, we move on. So that gets taken out of my mind because I really didn't want to go down that rabbit hole of trying to figure out the anatomy of puppet human sexual relations. I know we had mentioned previously when we've talked about Melissa McCarthy, we like her, but we haven't necessarily liked a lot of her films that she's done.
Yes, I was going to ask you what you thought of her role in this.
I like this better than other things I've seen her in. It's still not like that great, oh my gosh, that was hilarious, brilliant, this is why I love you, Melissa McCarthy film that I want her to have. But I definitely like her better in this than like Life of the Party or
But that goes back to what we were saying. Well, maybe not Ghostbusters, but when we talked about Life of the Party, you were saying you tend to like her better in ensemble casts rather than she's the main the main star.
And this, that is sort of the thing, is parts of what I like about this better is her, you know, with other people. Scenes where she's by herself, there keeps being this running joke in this film that she, you know, people forget, don't recognize that she's a woman. They think she's a man. And I'm like, I don't get that. Like, looking at the way she looks, where is that joke coming from? She's got what looks to be like an actual somewhat fashionable bob haircut. Mm-hmm. Like, not bob like a man, bob like a short haircut. Right. And I'm just like, and she's got what looks like fashionable clothing. And I'm like, fine, she's not wearing a dress, but I don't get this whole manly thing.
She's curvy.
Right.
I'm she's like, not man-shaped.
That joke is not working for me at all. I like Elizabeth Banks in this also, although I feel she's like wasted. I feel like there must be like a good portion of stuff for her that's just like on the cutting room floor. It feels like she should have been in this film more. You should have done more with her and you just don't. I do actually, my favorite human in this is Maya Rudolph's as Bubbles, the secretary, who is, I'm not quite sure, she's dumb, but she's not dumb, but she's doing this like high-pitched sort of breathy voice the way you kind of imagine a somewhat, you know, dumb blonde. I think she is actually blonde in this. But then like, she knows how to pick a lock, and it's very easy for her. And I love at one point she comes to Melissa McCarthy for help to, I forget, Phil Phillips has been charged with something that he hasn't done, and they're trying to clear his name. And she's like, I need your help to do whatever. I do it myself, but I'm in heels. Like, I love your character. Also, why are you not in this more? So again, I like Melissa McCarthy's character better in this, but of the three women, she's, you know, third place for me. I wanted more Elizabeth Banks. I wanted more Maya Rudolph. I kind of wanted less of Melissa McCarthy just because of the jokes they were making.
Right.
But when she was given good material, it was actually pretty decent. Some of this made me laugh out loud. Other parts of this made me just sort of go, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure that was good or bad. That was just, I did not think you were going there.
And then you did.
Yeah. So, and I think part of it is it's, again, puppets, but definitely not for kids. So there's just like, I don't know what to do with this. Puppets. what do you want me to do here?
I feel like that wraps things up. I don't know what to do with this. Puppets.
Yep, exactly. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. Our second not at all for children movie with puppets is Team America World Police, which
I've seen this one. Aren't they marionettes?
They are marionettes, yes. So these ones, they have strings. You can definitely see the strings. We're not even trying to hide that they have strings. We're just, if the first film felt like, you know, puppeteer majors who got drunk and watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit, this feels like puppeteer majors or grad students who entered in for like a grad student prize to fund their thesis and then got second place, which doesn't have as much money because it wasn't patriotic enough, and decided, you want patriotic? We will give you patriotic. And that became this film.
The only thing I can remember about this movie, because I saw it like 10, 12 mm-hmm. years ago, whatever, on a date. What the heck was he thinking? It was just one of those, like, let's hang out and watch a movie at my place. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. The only thing I can remember, I mean, I vaguely remember bits and pieces, but what really sticks with me is the scene with the defecating and the urinating and the, oh, dear God, why?
So if, you know, the first film had an extensive sex scene, this one was like, we're totally going to top that, except this one was way in advance because this is about like 15 years old. But the sex scene in this just goes on. And as Sarah said, has urinating and defecating. And I was just like, why? Why? Please stop. But then decides because, to...
yeah, I just feel like this is some sort of like extraordinarily immature 20-year-old guys being like, oh, let's make the marionettes do this now.
Well, see, and I didn't know it at the time when I watched the film, but I kind of started feeling it along the way. And part of it was because of the voice actors and I could kind of recognize the voice. This is by the people who did South Park.
Right.
So if you've seen South Park and you're like, hate, absolutely don't even try. Do not even bother to watch this, even start to watch this film, because it's that, but with, you know, bad marionettes instead of cheap animation. Like, it is just, there is a lot of that. And in the same way that South Park, you know, will clearly skewer almost anything, including its own country, this feels, and I think this came out around 2003 or so, but this feels a lot like the skewering of the very much, America feeling that the country was going through at that time. So Team America World Police, part of that is a play on, you know, American politics, international politics, foreign politics, about, oh yes, we're the world's police. One country is the world's police. That's their actual title, Team America World Police. And so they go around to various countries, essentially trying to stop terrorists and continuing with the worst, just skewering everything. They don't even try and make these terrorists like non-stereotypical terrorists whatsoever. These are clearly, you know, even the film starts in Paris and they're all being very stereotypical French Paris people. We don't even bother. I think that there's a little boy whose name is like Jean-Francois or something running around, runs into one of the terrorists. All the terrorists in this film, if they're not speaking English to our world police people, are speaking ridiculous, I don't even know what, where it's like, duck, duck, Muhammad Jihad. That's their language.
Yeah.
That's what they say. I was like, got it. Yep, totally just skewering that stereotype. At one point, I think they do actually say Muhammad Ali in part of the stereotype thing.
Probably.
Like, we're just throwing in things. But so ridiculous, so clearly made to be stereotype. So we have to send in, you know, Team America World Police to stop them, including the tagline, which gets said twice in this film, of terrorize this. It's like, please stop.
Of course it does.
This is clearly, I think it's somewhat based off of the Thunderbirds with the marionettes thing. Although then I later looked this up and evidently the creators of South Park don't really like that show, but it does feel in that sort of same way of, you know, not high production value marionettes, but then they're supposed to have like really super high tech. So it's just like, we're just going to completely make fun of that. They've got like every version of a flying thing ever. There's a jet and a helicopter and something in between a jet and a helicopter that can't quite understand what it is. And a like jet boat submarine thing. But clearly they're making fun of things. They recruit this new guy, Gary, who's an actor. And I love the introduction to Gary because he's on Broadway in Lease the Musical.
In Lease the
Which
Musical.
Which is clearly supposed to be a play on Rent. Because when we get to him in this musical, they're performing the song, Everybody Has AIDS. Oh, I'm just like,
yeah, you know, I have blocked 98% of this movie, except for the part that clearly traumatized me the most.
That part definitely. But they need to recruit Gary because he's a double major with theater and world languages, so he makes the perfect spy, and they lost a team member. And they know that the terrorists have weapons of mass destruction somewhere.
Right.
And we need to stop them before they, you know, do something with these weapons of mass destruction. So we need this new team member to go in and pretend to be a terrorist to get the info. There's a scene where he's, he essentially supposedly undergoes plastic surgery to look like a terrorist, because that's the only problem about him fitting in as a terrorist is he doesn't look like one.
Sure.
Never
sure.
mind. He doesn't know anything about the culture or anything.
They all have, you know, the exact same look that you have to.
Well, yeah. And his look, again, clearly nothing is reverent. It's just like him with, you know, dark paint on his skin and hair just placed everywhere and not even believable that's how your hair would grow out of your face wave.
Yeah.
And somehow that works and he gets into the terrorists and they are trying to foil the plot of where are these weapons of mass destruction coming from. But in the meantime, because again, this is, you know, a commentary on America's whole we're the world police thing, every time they go somewhere, whether it's Paris or Cairo or wherever, in order to stop the terrorists, they end up essentially destroying every, like, well-known national landmark there.
Yes, because, so, you know, that's how it always works.
Right. So when they go to Paris, they shoot a missile at the terrorist because that's totally rational. Right, let me get a big bazooka to shoot at a person. They miss.
That's how I do it.
Right?
Yeah.
Y'all, the bigger the better, always. They miss, hit part of the Eiffel Tower, which then falls and lands on the Arc de Triomphe. And so they're both destroyed, but we've still missed the terrorists, so we've got to hit the terrorists. So we shoot a missile from the jet into the Louvre to blow it up. And hey, we got the terrorists. Like, but you just destroyed the Louvre. We go to Cairo. We destroy the pyramids of Giza and one of the temples that I want to say Karnak, but that's only from like Mummy Returns. And I don't actually know which temple it is, but I recognize it from Mummy Returns and the Sphinx. And it's like, yeah, we got it. It's like, oh, I missed. And then I got the terrorists. So it's all good. I was like, no, you absolute morons. No.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, you have to have a love story because, of course, you do.
And so you can have a sex scene. Although you don't have to have a love story to have a sex scene, but, you know, okay.
Well, yeah. So Lisa, who was in love with the former team member who died, starts to have feelings for Gary, and Gary has feelings for Lisa, but that's problematic because the other female on the team, Sarah, also likes Gary.
Yeah, I do.
You do? You
no,
really?
No, not really. No.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. So they get together, and then Sarah finds out, and she's upset, and that makes when they have to go on a mission problematic.
Yep.
And Gary, in the meantime, people have criticized them, including the actors, which just...
Such a deep sigh.
And I love at the end in the credits they put how they did not get any of the actors' permissions to use their name or likenesses, but we don't even try and pretend they're not them. So there's Alec Baldwin,
yep,
and Janine Garofalo and Matt Damon, who only says Matt Damon. That's the only thing the puppet says is Matt Damon the whole time. I'm just like, what? Clearly we don't like Matt Damon.
Yes,
you know, somebody. Creators of this film. But yeah, so this just, the maybe. Actors are, you know, in that very typical, oh, we're actors, so we know about world peace thing, and Team America's terrible because world peace, their group is called the Film Actors Guild, or FAG. Gee, I wonder why we chose that acronym. So then we get this whole thing about, you know, when something happens, everyone will know it was due to fags, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's some jokes that it's like, we're not even trying to be subtle. It's like we're calling actors fags, etc. There is a whole thing that comes up twice in this, and it kind of works philosophically, but at the other hand, it's like, yeah, I get you're just joking there about, and excuse my language, but this is what they say about dicks, pussies, and assholes, and how some people in the world are dicks and some are pussies and some are assholes, and their relationship to each other somehow relating to how people treat each other.
Oh my gosh.
And this is used at one point to like stir up a crowd to do the right thing about, you know, dicks, pussies, and I'm just like, wow, I get it. And okay, you know, both biologically and in this metaphor you're using, I get why that would work, but wow, really? Mm-hmm. And then we get it again and I'm like, wow, okay, huh. So, yeah, definitely not for kids. I don't even know why you'd want to take kids, because...
I don't even want to see it again.
Whereas in the Happy Time Murders, those are, you know, Muppet puppets, so they're, like, soft and felt and whatever. These are marionettes, so they're, like, their faces don't move as much. Mm-hmm. And so the emotions when they're trying to do different, I'm just like, you kind of, if I saw you and like you weren't moving and like the lighting was, I'd be a little freaked out. Like, that looks almost like the horror film puppet that will come alive to kill you.
Oh, lovely.
It's just like, why? And they're, the way they move is at times very jerky because, again, they're marionettes on strings.
Yep.
There's a wonderful, they're clearly, you know, spoofing some other things. So they're the secret agent, whatever. And they have a intelligence system called Intelligence, which is an acronym that we don't ever explain.
Of course
but
not.
But then we just...
Who came up with, you know, how many letters is that? 1, 2, 3, right. 4.
But like, we clearly just want to use the joke so that later, you know, when they're... home base gets bombed, they're like, we've lost intelligence, we have no intelligence. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, okay,
they had to work really hard just to get that line.
You took the whole thing, the whole film, just to bring this in. Like, just, oh man, I kind of liked Happy Time Murders at times. With this film, if I laughed, it was more just out of like shock
and horror
at
times.
Except for, again, the lease, except for the soundtrack. The soundtrack is very interesting. So you get the song from Lease the Musical of Everybody Has AIDS. Ugh. When you get that ridiculous sex scene, the song there is, you know, please just be a woman. I don't want you to touch me that way unless you're a woman. I don't know why. When Gary's feeling bad about abandoning his team and Lisa, there's a song. And I love this song because clearly the creators clearly don't like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. There's a song that's I Miss You, but is also Pearl Harbor Sucked. it's clearly supposed to be like his inner monologue. So it's like, I miss you, but almost as much as Pearl Harbor Sucked is how much I miss you. And it's just like, except for Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck was really bad in that film. Like, these are the lyrics of the song. And it's just like, what are you doing? What is this? There's a song called Montage, because every action film needs a montage.
True story, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always fade out in a montage. It's just like, I kind of really like the soundtrack just for it's so, wow. There's a theme song almost. Every time the Team America sort of rides out in their various ridiculous plane, helicopter, whatever's called America F Yeah, except they really say the word. That's their theme song.
They sing
that America F Yeah. And I was just like, got it. Okay. And move on, please. There's so much, and I'm just like, wow, yeah, that film. I have seen only the South Park movie, not the South Park show. I know I definitely laughed in shock at times in that movie. It feels like I did it this time like 10 times as much, which is kind of fitting because there comes up a couple of times, you know, we have to stop the terrorists because otherwise it'll be 9/11 times 100. You mean, yes, 91,000. Just like, please stop. But yeah, so interesting. It's somewhat dated because the main bad guy in this is Kim Jong-il. And it's just like, huh.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I hadn't thought about him for a while.
Yeah, that's not the case anymore. And he was the reason why, as the film went on, I could sort of start to tell it was South Park creators, because they do a lot of the voices, including his.
Yep.
So as he was talking, they do the ridiculous Asian stereotype of R and L's with him.
Of course.
He's not saying things properly. There's a guy named Something Blix who we call Something Brix. Mm-hmm. Like, got it. He's very lonely, except it's lonely. And I was like, I've heard him. I've heard this voice. What do I know him from? As we're going along, and I'm like, aha. I feel I've seen this. Got it. Yeah. I kind of like South Park, the movie, at least. I thought it was funny. This, I'm just like, are we done? No, we're still not. And that vomiting scene is, wow, that is long and extensive and keeps going and going. And okay, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
I think the mantra for this movie is, please stop.
Yeah.
Please.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely felt that way a lot of times. Again, except for the soundtrack, which I kind of just like, just because they're clearly the lyrics. Just listen to lyrics. There's a song at the end, which is not in the film, about how Alec Baldwin is the worst.
Yes.
Tons of things that happen in the film, but I'm just like, okay, soundtrack, yes. Rest of the film, no. Pass. So, yeah. Happy Time Murders, don't take your kids. Team America World Police, most definitely don't take your kids, but also maybe be of a certain age and or drinking.
I was just going to say, or drunk.
Right, I feel like, you know, 20-something guys who've had a few beers would absolutely love this film.
Yep.
But other than that, I don't know who, except for, of course, the South Park people, clearly. So if you're a big fan of South Park, you probably would like this. If you're not, yeah. That's all I've got to say.
That was succinct and yes. Yep.
Yeah. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.